do the planning for what to do with the objects, or?
To order the House State Affairs Committee. Today is Friday, April 19, 1991. The time is 8:38. We have a quorum, Representatives Moyer, Bruckman, Miller, and Covina. During today's meeting, we'll take up Senate Bill 136 relating to Alcan Highway Commemorative License Plate, SJR 9 relating to a federal grant for state veterans' home, Senate Bill 131 relating to notice of elections, meetings, regulations, House Bill 237 relating to state licensing of new buildings. Something else, too. SJR 9. Item on the agenda is SJR 9 by Senator Kutula. A resolution urging the federal government to approve the state's application for funds to establish and maintain a state veterans home. Senator Kutula is unable to be here this morning and has asked me to make the presentation for him. The resolution is pretty straightforward. You have a sponsor statement in your packet. Federal government, when they build these, they pay 65% of the cost, construction cost, and then they pay a stipend to veterans that are in the homes. I think there are 60 some of these now. In 38 states, Alaska, I'm told, has the highest per capita veterans in the state, any state. And there is a fiscal note on here, although this fiscal note sure would not be accepted by the Finance Committee because it's only an indication of the cost if we were to get the grant to build it and whatnot. Other records should show that we've been joined by Representative Choquette. Any comments on SJR 9?
The motion.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move Senate Joint Resolution number 9 out of committee with individual recommendation.
Without objection, SJR 9 is moved to committee without individual recommendation. Schultz, an act relating to the display, Alaska. What? Oh, no, I forgot. Jeff came in and out. I wonder if he wants to say anything on that.
He'll probably say thank
you. Do we have a sign-up
much.
Sheet? Has anybody signed up? Gary?
I think he was just here to answer questions.
Has anybody signed up for anything? Item on agenda, Senate Bill 136 by Senator Schultz, an act relating to display Alaska Highway registration plates. This bill would enable people to replace the front license plate on their vehicle with an Alcan Highway 50th Anniversary Commemorative Plate. Dave Stancliffe, Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Dave Stancliffe, and I'm legislative assistant for Senator Schultz. And we had been requested to see if it was possible through the administration and regulations to allow the display of this particular license plate that I'm holding on vehicles through 1992 and the celebration of that 50th anniversary. And we did some checking with legal, and they said, in fact, it would require a statutory change. And so the bill that Senator Schultz has proposed would allow for the placing of this on the front of the vehicle only, for the time period specified in the legislation, which runs through year 92, from the effective date of the legislation through 92. The idea behind this plate, which incidentally is marketed by the Alaska Highway Great Alaska Highway Society in Alaska, but really it's an international plate. It was, the logo was designed by a student in Delta and won out over many professional designs that the International Committee looked at in Edmonton 2 years ago. And so it's a plate that's on display presently in the provinces, I believe, of Yukon and BC. And we're hoping that we can legally display this soon in Alaska so that we can get the interest generated necessary for keeping up our end of the celebration. Project 92 is something the Canadians are ahead of us on in terms of promotion and dollars, and there's going to be a lot of events on the highway, and we're hoping that through the display of this plate, it'll generate a lot of interest here in the state, and that we'll be ready to put on our celebration on our side of the line when the tourists get here. So it's pretty straightforward, Mr. Chairman. If there aren't questions, I'd try to answer them for the Senator.
I wonder if there's a way to put a little clause in here that says this section is repealed on a certain date. In other words, you put a law on the books and it stays there forever until we act again, don't you? And actually, this is sort of a temporary law.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. In fact, I just was commenting to Gail Horetsky this morning that I noticed the Olympic plate section of statute is still in statute, even though we didn't get the Olympics and no plates were and I'm sure that would not be a problem if you wanted to put a repealer in it.
Rep. Sam Miller?
Mr. Chairman, that would be easy enough to create a new section two, and although from my understanding, many times when the revisers go through, they do repeal old statutes that are no longer in effect, and that's basically what the reviser statute is.
Yeah.
It does go through, but it would be easy enough to put a section two that section one of this act is repealed January 2nd, 1993.
That might not be a bad idea, and then it's done. Does anybody object to that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see that we have nothing in writing from public safety or law enforcement agencies, and I was curious. The letter from Senator Schultz indicated a verbal approval by the Department of Public Safety.
Mr. Chairman, I had a chance to speak personally with the Commissioner of Public Safety on this matter, and we did contact Public Safety initially. And our indications were, and mine in speaking with the commissioner, that they were supportive of this as a part of a wider support by the administration. We do not have anything in writing to that effect. However, there is a representative from the department here if you care to take comments.
Also, Mr. Chairman, unless my vice chairman can correct me, I think in International Trade and Tourism, we heard of their support too.
Right.
The previous committee.
I don't find it necessary, Mr. Chairman. I support the bill. It's just that out of curiosity, and I was curious about the comments from public safety and law enforcement agencies.
Any other questions of Mr. Stanclough? Thank you, Mr. Stanclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Department, have anything to add?
We support the bill.
Okay.
does anybody object to think? I think that's a good way to do these, and that way we don't have to revisit them. But I would entertain a motion to do what we talked about, Rep. Tim Wire.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I would move that we amend the CS for House Bill 136 to add the repealer section as described.
And we would renumber Section 2 to Section 3. Is there objection to the amendment? Okay, and we'll make sure with legal there's no problems with that. If there's no problems, it'll be contingent. That's an appropriate way to do it, okay? Rep. Tim Wire?
I would move that we send from committee CS for House Bill, Senate Bill, I should say, number 136, State Fair, as amended. I ask unanimous consent.
Are there any objections? Hearing no objections, we do have a CS for a House CS for Senate Bill 136, State Affairs. It's moved from committee with individual recommendation. like to take up next House Bill 237. House Bill 237 by the House Transportation Committee, an act establishing certain criteria that must be considered when state agency leases involve the construction of new buildings. This is a bill that we have previously heard and said would be taken back up.
The architect bill?
How many people need copies of this bill?
That's just like the Atlanta.
Do you have it?
Yes, sir.
Dave?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have a letter in your packet from Arthur Snowden. Does anybody have that?
The one to Arthur Snowden.
Yeah. Well, we have an amendment, and we have a letter also. As we recall, this was a piece of legislation that would adopted the task force recommendations the basic thing is they're looking for life cycle cost, function, indoor environment, public convenience, planning, design, appearance, location of building to be included in looking at it. I know one thing we talked about was adding a part on this last section 3 that would also say they should evaluate whether it's better to build ourselves or to. We just went here, it says proposals were for lease. We talked about adding another criteria that would say they would also evaluate whether it's better to build it ourselves, the state build it and own it, or to lease it. Well, let's deal with that issue first. What's the thoughts of the committee? Is that something we want to do? Mm-hmm. See two yeses yes. There. Dave?
So, Mr. Chairman, it's going to bring up a little further overview. It's going to bring up a possible increase in protests. If this is the place for this bill, then I would concur that we do need to establish some type of research that lets us know what's cheaper for the state and which would better address the purposes of the building. But I think this committee has to be aware that we are introducing a blanket procurement revisions bill before the end of the session this year, and we'll be working extensively on that bill during the interim. This type of thing's going to fall right into that, Gene, because it's got some. Chris Benedictson, or that's the correct pronunciation of his name, has brought up some very good points. And what we have to continue to keep in mind when we're working on bills that deal with procurement, leasing, construction, is the uniform way by which the procurement code deals with it. As I recall from the last meeting, Representative Baker and myself brought up a couple of concerns with this bill, not so much concerns, but conceivable additions and they dealt primarily with the task report, the task force report, on which apparently is the basis for this bill. I noticed that I don't have Mr. Snowden's letter, but I do have a memorandum to him, and he does not. Make a statement that I can see on the proposed amendment that Representative Baker myself requested last time. If it's feels the wishes of this committee that such an amendment complements the bill, then of course I'm going to be very much in favor of it. So we're trying best we can to reduce cost and to look at the methods of government can most effectively and economically work for the people. And that would surely do it. There's a lot of areas that come into concern here, the least being which moving the legislature of the Capitol. I think that should go into fruition at some time down the road. As the bill is written, I like the bill. As with the amendments proposed, I don't know what's going to happen. The research we have numerous complaints both from the administration and the private sector in terms of the procurement code in general. Ways that can make it better, and it's very conceivable that the lease situation and the and new construction would be more adequately addressed throughout the interim. We did write up an amendment on this, is that correct?
No.
But do we have anybody from the court system here?
Well, I'm not, I'd like to hear from somebody from DOT on this bill. Have we asked them?
Not after the senior. It was published.
Have we asked them for anything on information on this?
We had Bob Link here earlier, and let's see.
Would you refresh the committee's memory what he told us?
I'd have to refresh my own memory and look at the minutes.
Well, you know what the court system wants, to put it bluntly, they want dropped out. They wanted to do away with section 2. Ms. Mack, will you take the does this bill affect the university system?
I don't have that answer. I assume so, but I don't know.
I would assume not.
You would assume not.
Oh, just the truth.
I believe they're on a separate
procurement.
Yes.
Chairman, I assumed not also for a long period of time, but was informed by the court procurement officer 2 days ago in a hearing I had concerning a procurement bill that I'm working on, that they are, in fact, they do fall under the procurement code.
They do?
Yes. And Department of Transportation, actually, Mr. Lincoln help with this, but I believe Department of Transportation has its own procurement code, has developed its own.
Let's hold on and we'll call him up.
For the record, my name is Sharon Macklin and I represent the Alaska Professional Design Council, which is an organization that represents 1,500 architects, engineers, and land surveyors statewide. And we are very supportive of this bill, and as a refresher to the committee as to our testimony, we had Paul Volkers, who testified about a week ago, who is an architect, who was on the interim task force. And our concern with this bill was in section D, that the way it's currently written on line 6, we feel that the language could be tightened up, because right now it says the department shall consider
That's
the
right.
following. And we would encourage you to consider changing the word consider to shall include or something along those lines so that the state, when they are looking at a lease, will definitely look at these other options as far as how they select a contractor and a design, and not just look at the lease cost, but the other factors. We definitely have no problem with your including additional language that encourages the state to look at the life cycle cost of a building as to whether it is a better, more beneficial to the state to build or to lease.
Thank you. Thanks. Now I remember. we had used the word include in place of consideration because that we are looking at evaluating proposals, and that in the course of evaluating those proposals, the department shall include the following means of evaluation, and. As Spinecki said, Sharon said, we looked also at the life cost, an analysis, new construction versus lease cost. And I think this committee's focus should be on whether or not that belongs in this bill. This bill is dealing with evaluation as recommended by the task force. And I think that's where we left it, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody else? Have you read the court systems memorandum?
Yes, I have.
Any comment on it?
My comments are...
They seem to be saying that setting this up in this manner is going to cause problems. You're going to have more complaints. You're going to have more challenges to your leases. Because it's not explaining well enough what each of these things mean and how you're going to evaluate them.
That's true. That's their perspective on that. Our experience with some similar language, or not similar language, but a process within DOT where they select architects and engineers not just based on a cost, but by other kinds of evaluations, such as experience, not only lifetime experience in Alaska with building certain kinds of buildings, is that it is somewhat subjective, and yet the DOT has been able to manage under the statute to do that.
Tim Bruckman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have to say, the Anchorage School District uses some subjective evaluations. It's always worked well because the aesthetic value and not just the functioning of a building, but the feeling of a building is so valuable and important to people who work there in the community who come and use it. And I lean towards more of an open evaluation system that includes many things because of the real everyday use of a building is so important. But I would like to see that an option for the state to build or to lease in this language. It makes a lot of sense, a lot of economic sense, and to me, very practical, should be definitely a part of this.
All right, thank you, Ms. Macklin. Mr. Link, would you join us here?
Services and Department of Administration, we lease buildings.
Would you give us the department's position on this and whether you think this bill in its present form is something that's workable?
We support the bill. We think the bill in its present form is workable. If it's amended to require us to do a cost lease versus buy comparison, that only requires us to do that. It doesn't require us to go build a building.
Right.
So we don't have any problem with that, and neither did DOT when I spoke with them. I spoke with the court system this morning, and they had that memo faxed down to them just prior to the meeting last week. And this morning, they did not intend to propose the contents of that memo as being an amendment to the to the bill.
Could you tell me, Mr. Link, what departments are not included in this that may lease buildings? Is the university included?
This bill fits in the middle of the procurement code. At the front of the procurement code, there's a section which in effect says that some departments can't, or parts of state government, or in some cases, I'm not sure what you want to call them, like the railroad, can't operate the same way as government does because of their particular unique requirements. And so it sort of lets them out partially. The section recovering the university says the university shall produce their own regulations, but they have to be substantially equivalent to the laws contained in the procurement code. So even though they're not included word for word, whatever they do has to be substantially equivalent to the way it's done here.
And I believe the courts have ruled that substantially equivalent means just about the darn same thing.
I think so.
Yes. Okay. So the railroad is out. Can you think of anybody else that would be excluded from this at this time?
HFC.
HFC.
So any independent authority.
Right.
Most of them. What would be the department's position on taking the section out that would require the court system to also follow this?
I don't believe we don't have a preference on that section. I think that's purely a discussion within the legislature and the court system.
Okay. Questions of Mr. Link from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, if an amendment is introduced, Mr. Link, that will ask the state, which is going to be primarily you, since the division of the Department of Administration does most of the leasing, is that correct?
Right.
If an amendment is offered to offer an analysis of the state's choices to build or not to build, to own or not to own, would the administration be in favor of that amendment or have no position?
Mr. Chairman, I think we can support that amendment. I think that makes excellent sense.
I would move the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Which amendment?
We don't have it.
Let me analyze this, and if you'll stay with us, Mr. Link. I'm on Section 3, Page 2. Here we're talking about this to the department. The department is evaluating proposals for lease that will involve the construction of a new building that the department shall consider. And let's talk about that word consider. Is that word appropriate, Mr. Link, consider, or do you feel that that word should be stronger?
I like consider because it gives us the flexibility of doing everything from making a hard line, let's say digital determination, down to an area where we look at something and decide that it is considered enough. It gives us a whole spectrum of ways, but we do have to look at it. We can't ignore it.
Shall consider, in addition to lease costs, the life cycle costs, function, indoor environment, public convenience, planning, design, appearance, and then if we just added the words after appearance, cost of purchasing, would that...
That wouldn't do that.
All right. Give me some language. As compared to leasing.
If you ask me that question.
Representative Shulkin.
I'd use the language in the task force report.
Which says, when you read that to me.
Which asks the state to analyze the options of choosing to build or own versus lease, versus use the lease process.
Analyze the option to build to own.
The wording is, after the analyst, the state chooses not to build or own and proceeds with the lease process. It's on the
third paragraph.
Thank you. And a question for Mr. Link. Would the word include, as opposed to consider, grief to you. It's amazing how we get hung up in semantics.
I don't.
But it would make no difference to you.
I don't think, Mr. Chairman, I don't think so.
I know Representative Baker, Mr. Chairman, was concerned that the word consider was not strong enough language and had suggested that the word include might very well be strong enough. If the administration doesn't have a problem with it, I would consider that part of my amendment.
Representative Greenberg.
I would prefer we could keep those issues separate. It seems to me that what Representative Choquette is saying, and this would require a redraft of Section 3, there should be a two-step process. Step number one is whether the state should build and own a building or a lease. That's the first issue that should be decided. And then, if the state chooses to lease, it should consider the following, or whatever it's going to do.
Well, either way, it should consider all these things, whether it's building to own or leasing.
I'm not certain, and I'd ask Mr. Link, because these are the details of the particular. I see what you're saying. You're saying that if you decide to build and own, then in designing the building, you should consider these factors. And if you're deciding to lease, then you should consider these as well. So I see what you're saying. So they're really. But we still would have to redraft the section so that the first thing is to decide whether to, or they must decide whether to build and own or lease, and regardless of whether they build and own or lease, in designing the building, they should consider these.
That's correct.
I think we're going to have the drafters redraft this section.
Mr. Chairman.
But that's the way I envision what you're saying, Representative Choquette.
Representative Greenberg, what we're simply doing is asking the state to analyze which is in the best interest of the state to build and own yourself or lease. The word consider came up before you got here and just dealt with this. I don't know if you were here when Representative Baker and myself were discussing this.
I understand the drift of what you're saying. That seems to me a different issue.
It is a different issue.
I personally like to give the administration the flexibility. And I like the word consider because what that'll mean is they'll draft regulations, and the regulations will give them the flexibility they need, I would presume, to take these factors into consideration.
Okay, we have a disagreement on here.
No, so Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my amendment.
Okay, let's keep that amendment separate and deal with it first. So the way Representative Greenberg stated that, Representative Choquette, is that the intention of your amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I would withdraw the amendment I made as far as changing the word from consider to include. But I would ask the committee to please consider my first amendment.
Okay, and is the way Representative Greenberg stated it conceptually
Do you want me to restate it?
Mr. Link doesn't have a problem either way, so either way is fine with me. It's not my intention to argue over a word on it.
Well, I need to know what the amendment is so we can get it in the bill. And I'm not clear what your amendment is, Representative.
The amendment is that the state shall analyze the difference between ownership and leasing to determine the state's best interest, Mr. Chairman. And however you want to word it is fine by me. It's just a topic we brought up last time we were here.
Okay, there is a motion before us to also have the state analyze the difference in its best interest, the difference between owning and leasing. Representative.
I think this may clarify the Choquette Amendment, if it's agreeable with you. That there are two different things going on here. Number one is whether to build or lease. And number two is factors to consider in the design, regardless of whether you build or lease. And I think that's the sense of Representative Choquette's amendment. And I think that that our staff and the drafters and Mr. Link can come up with some language to accomplish the conceptual amendment. Am I stating it correctly, Dick?
Yes, sir.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Representative Breckman.
No, I like the amendment, but I'm hoping we come back to the consider and include.
Different issue. there any objection to the amendment?
I assume they'll bring it before us so I'll have a chance to look at it.
All right with you? All right, so conceptually that amendment is is done. We will have that drafted. And what we'll do is end up with a CS before us on Monday. Now, is there any other amendments the committee wishes to take up? Erpson, Bruckman?
Well, I, back to the consider and include argument, I believe that those issues are very important, public, that definitely should be included, public convenience and function. To me, that I don't see how that somebody could come up with a proposal or doing it without doing it, but I would think it should be, it would be important to make sure that it is included. But at least consideration of it, you know. It's up to the department to determine how much time and what they value.
Personally, I have no problem at all with the word consider myself. Mm-hmm. Representative Gruber.
Yeah, I think, Representative Bruckman, you have to look at the syntax of the sentence, mm-hmm. the way it's drafted. It wouldn't make sense to say shall include planning design. Obviously, everything has to have a design.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it just wouldn't make sense to say the word include. But it does read properly the way it's drafted, and as I understand it, what this is a general direction to the department to draft regulations mm-hmm. that will spell out exactly how these considerations must be made. Is that, Mr. Chairman, is that right, Mr. Link?
Mr. Link?
Okay, we have to consider this stuff somehow, and we haven't figured out exactly how to do that today, but we have to do it somehow. We can't just ignore it, that's what it amounts to, period. We cannot, consideration, whether it's by adding points for the building design, or whether we just do some sort of evaluation and decide the location and an acceptable area is okay. That's as we've considered location. But in some way, we cannot ignore any of these factors when we're doing building, which involves construction.
Okay, no further discussion on the word consider. Representative Gruber.
On another issue?
On another issue.
By the way, I support this bill. I think that I haven't literally looked at it, but I think it's a very good idea. One thing I am concerned...
You haven't looked at it, Representative Gruber? This is the second time we've had it before this committee.
I apologize.
Thank you, Representative.
I stand chastised properly.
Thank you, Representative Gruber.
You're pushing it.
With respect to the word indoor environment, one thing, and there's indoor environment and planning, okay, indoor environment and appearance, the word appearance would include outdoor environment, artistic, anything like that that's on there too, I presume. Is that correct?
That's the way I read it.
Okay.
I think the other issue is... whether we want to exempt the court system from it. Representative Moyer.
Well, before we get to that, excuse me, Mr. Nick, would you consider the term public convenience to include consideration of, for example, handicap, access, and...
Mr. Chairman, I think public convenience includes the whole spectrum,
yeah.
Not just handicap access, but location, things like bus routes,
No need
demographic distribution of the customers and the whole.
And don't we have another section someplace about handicap access for state buildings?
We have a law which requires us to have handicap access.
Right. And under life cycle costs, that would probably include certain. We're looking at new building designs that may decrease energy consumption.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman, I see life cycle costs of amounts with the dollars we're going to pay out over the life of the lease. Make sure that we consider the total cost we're going to pay out, not just consider, say, for example, just the rental payments.
Thank you. Are you done, Representative Bloomberg?
I am concerned about a phrase that's in here. The only leases that are covered by this subsection D are those that will involve the construction of a new building.
Right.
I think these should have to be considered in any lease.
A renewal lease?
Well, not only yes in renewal leases, but, you know, the question in Anchorage usually does not involve a lease in the involves the construction of a new building. It involves people going into existing space. And I don't see why this should be limited to only those leases that involve the construction of a new building. I think these are factors that should be considered in every lease.
Well, I would submit to you that the reason it's only that is because it's the design people that are pushing this bill. So
I understand, but these seem to me, let me give you an example of something that was quite a deal in my house, District 11, Spinard, a couple of years ago. And you will remember this, Mr. Wayne. The question was, what should be considered the downtown area for the purposes of where the leasing preference should be? And we got them to include the Spinard Road area, moving out and even over International Airport Road. And that did not involve in any manner, it involved several different agencies that were going to extend, look for leases in that particular part of town. And it didn't involve any new construction building. But, for example, public convenience was a very important thing. That involved the location here. I think that these are factors, and we're talking about indoor environment, where we had that problem with the fungus in the building, over by Denali Street and 36th in that area, and the indoor air quality and stuff like that. I think, Mr. Chairman, that these are factors, the cost, that life cycle costs, which I take to mean costs of operation and maintenance and stuff that would go to the state, the function, the indoor environment, the public convenience, the design of the building, the appearance, and the location. All of those should be factors that are considered in every lease, whether or not it involves new construction.
Mr. Lane?
Well, I think the, first of all, we do consider many of these items right now when we do lease space. I think the sort of separation of saying is the appearance, primarily is the appearance and design of the building having an effect on saying that a present lessor may not be acceptable when compared to another lessor, though they've been okay for up to now. We consider in all our places, I mean, all our leases are required to meet building codes. We do consider now at least that we do the costs of utilities. But what we don't consider is we don't consider what the building looks like, or we don't consider how it, we do consider the agency's needs as far as their public's concerned, but we don't look at what the building looks like. This says when you're going to cause something to be built, like the labor building in Anchorage, or like the labor building in Juneau, that we consider that, we throw in the additional consideration of appearance, you know, and design, rather than just seeking generic office space. I'm not, you know, I hadn't thought about this. I'm not sure what it would look like when we toss in the consideration of appearance to a lease of office, just a lease of office space. Sometimes our leases run from, you know, 500 to 1,000 square feet for some sort of public information desk up to where points now where we're causing buildings to be built.
Sam Greenberg.
All this is broad regulatory authority. Broad regulatory authority. And you may decide in doing your regulations that if you're leasing interior office space, that some of these just wouldn't apply or something like that. It doesn't require that you give it weight in a given instance. That would be a valid, quote, consideration in the drafting of the regulations. And you considered it, but you don't feel it's important in that particular case. I just am saying that these factors are sufficiently broad and important that you should consider them and have regulations covering the situations. Because I do think that, I'm going back to another personal example here. A few years ago, we changed, or were looking at a possible change in the Anchorage LIO. As you may remember, it used to be downtown at the corner of K and 6th. And that lease was up. And we had a committee and a nice view. And there was parking, and it was close. You know, but the point is, we did look at the appearance of the building, too. It was presentable, as opposed to some other buildings that just weren't as nice. And so I do think that, since this is just very broad conceptual stuff for you to draft your regulations around, that it's not going to do you any harm. And it's not saying that for a given interior lease or something like that, that you got to look at the outside of the building. I mean, you know, it's just general guidelines. Let me just ask, Mr. Chairman, this is a staff question. When you're talking about these considerations, that you do consider stuff like this now, is that consideration required in the law, or is that just a policy?
It's common sense.
I'll offer an amendment.
Same group.
I'm going to drop the, I'm going to move to delete the phrase that will involve the construction of the new building.
Discussion on the amendment.
Wait, be more specific.
He's just deleting on line.
Line six.
On line six, page two, he's deleting the words.
Line six.
Line six.
Which exactly words, the?
That will involve the construction of a new building. So it'll read, when the department's considering proposals for a lease, the department shall consider it.
And it's actually going to be.
You want to?
Mr. Link, comment on that?
I'm Representative Gilbert's arguments.
Representative Breckman.
Were you going to leave it just, was the sponsor going to leave it just for a lease or?
Well, you're still not sure how it's going to read until we get it back from drafting on the, taking in the other amendment.
Right.
Okay, but what, but you would just delete that phrase from however it began.
Right. That, I appreciate that clarification, because obviously they don't change, just so that phrase does not appear.
Is there any objection to the amendment? Hearing no no objection, amendments also included. Further discussion on the bill. Hearing none, this bill will be back before us in the earliest possible date, and committee substitute for our review. Representative Greenberg.
This deals with the procurement code, and I had introduced another bill, I think that's in this committee, dealing with the procurement code. Just a question, Mr. Lake, as long as he's here. Is there any interest in pursuing that?
We're seeing whether there's anything useful at amendments we could offer in that bill.
Yeah, fine, no problem. I'm just waiting on you.
Thank you, sir.
Let me go back to one other question. Did anybody have any comments on the proposal to exempt the court system or drop them out? Representative Greenberg.
I think they should be there.
Anybody else?
I agree.
So I hear no motion to delete section two. Hearing no motion, okay. We will be back with CS on this next month.
Oh,
and then. The next bill before us is Senate Bill 131 by Senator Duncan, an act relating to the notice requirements for the adoption, amendment, or repeal of regulations for the meetings of public agencies and for state elections. Senator Duncan here, Pete. To deal just with the bill, you may want to amend it in there. Pete, would you state your name and position, please, for the record?
Thank you. My name is Pete Caron, legislative aide to Senator Duncan. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. I'll be brief. The objective of Senate Bill 131 is to enhance the dissemination of the required official public notice of state elections, regulation changes, public meetings through the combined use of print and broadcast media. Sections 1 through 4 of the measure relate to the public notice of elections. An additional requirement is made that notice of an election be broadcast. This proposed change mirrors the requirement for published public notice of an election. Senator Duncan measure calls for an abbreviated form of the notice that requires cross-promotion with the published notice. The legislation directs the Division of Elections to enact regulations governing the frequency of broadcast, appropriate broadcast times, and locations in order to provide the widest possible exposure to those notices. Language in Section 5 directs the Lieutenant Governor to establish guidelines for the broadcast of public meeting notices and notices dealing with regulation changes. Section 6 states public notice for regulations may be satisfied through a combined use of print and broadcast with the broadcast notice referencing the full text of the published notice. Section 7 allows the combined use of print and broadcast for official notice of public meetings if state agencies choose to go beyond the minimum requirement of publication in the Alaska Administrative Journal. There are two fiscal notes. The Division of Elections submitted a fiscal note for a $10,000 expenditure in fiscal year 92. The Lieutenant Governor submitted a zero fiscal note. There are letters in your packet in support of the legislation from Mr. Tom Tierney, President of the Alaska Commercial Broadcasters, and Mr. Rich Wilson, publisher of the Juneau Empire. Senator Duncan feels the advantages of incorporating the use of broadcast for official public notice is obvious. It will help ensure Alaskans are notified of state activities affecting their lives. Your favorable consideration of SB 131 is appreciated. I did note the amendment A few moments before the committee meeting started, we haven't had a chance to really look at it, to my knowledge. I think I understand what Representative Gruenberg's trying to do here. After his explanation, I would like to dare make a comment on Senator Duncan's behalf. Thank you.
Well, let's wait on the amendment. Statements, questions?
Yes, any questions?
Representative Silcek?
Mr. Chairman, Pete, do you have any idea what the fiscal note means here? We go from 10,000 to 30 to 10 to 32.
I think you see an increase there because that is an election year. They'd have more activity in that fiscal year, sir.
I favor the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Other comment on the bill?
Thank you. It seems to me that this is just broadening communication with the public in the notice of election. And that still the newspaper would be, media would be the one that would cover the most, have the most information. I see that as a benefit.
Other comments or questions? Sponsor? Stay with us a few minutes here. I'd like to have some more questions for you.
Questions. Chairman, you said the commercial broadcasters had supported. What's the word from public broadcasting networks? I assume they would too. But.
Yeah, Representative Moyer, through the chair, we received no objection from public broadcasters. I would imagine that they certainly would be supportive. It may even enhance the state's ability to provide public notice in rural areas. It would create an unusual situation in that public broadcasters do not take money for airing time, but I think it's something we would suggest to the Lieutenant Governor that be addressed in the regulatory process and how that might work. And I would imagine that public broadcasters would be very amenable to broadcasting notices of elections, regulatory changes, public meetings. Mm-hmm.
Sure, it'll justify their existence.
Thank you. Ernie, would you like to, do you have comments? Would you like to testify?
Mr. Chairman, no, only if there's any questions.
Which said committee? Anybody?
No, it was
today. Representative Gruenberg, on your amendment.
Does everybody have copies? Right? Mm-hmm. This was an amendment that was, no.
Oh, you said he was right.
This is an amendment that deals with a little different aspect of the notice requirements. Under the Administrative Procedures Act, the Lieutenant Governor has very limited powers by law. He or she only has the power to refuse to file a regulation if an original and one duplicate copy are not provided, and if the regulation or order of repeal are not accompanied by the written statement of approval by the Department of Law. Other than that, filing of regulations is purely ministerial. And in view of recent actions taken by that office, I think he's acting outside the scope and legality of his very limited powers in this area. And that the purpose of the new Section 7 will be simply to reinforce existing law. It's no change in existing law. And the notice will specifically state that on each and every regulation that's published.
Mr. Chairman, I would object to the amendment, and if I could speak to that.
I'd like to see a copy of the law that does set out what his duties are.
Sure. We have Title 44.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, my major objection is I believe that this is a pretty good bill, but I think you're going to guarantee a veto of the bill if this section is in the bill. And I would suggest that Representative Gruenberg, if he feels strongly about it, would not burden a good bill with this regulation, which is going to cause a lot of political flack and argument, and that he would introduce a separate piece of legislation doing this, because he will guarantee the veto of this particular piece of legislation, I believe, in my opinion. And I believe this is a good bill. So it would be my suggestion that Representative Gruenberg introduce a separate piece of legislation dealing with this. Thank you.
These are the sections here. The sections that deal with this, the notice section is section 190. Actually, it goes over section 290. Most of these don't relate to page 188 through page 197. Pages 188 to 197 on here. I understand the controversial nature, and I understand the danger that Representative Miller is mentioning. The thing that I'm concerned about, frankly, is the practice that's going on. And I think it's something that's going to have a very profound effect on the ability of the commissioners to run their own departments as required under the Constitution. This is something that we don't have a lot of time left in the legislative session, and this is, I think, something that the legislature should take a look at and have a hearing. I don't have a problem whether this is considered separately or whether it's considered as part of this bill. I agree this is a good bill. It's not controversial, and I don't have any desire to screw up the bill. But I do think that this is, frankly, far more important than the bill, the issue.
Other comments on the amendment? Potential guests?
Representative Gruenberg is amended to read, in addition to other information required to be included, a notice must contain a statement that the lieutenant governor, and throughout the course of the new session you requested. Now, if we're talking about public broadcasting, you've just used up 30 seconds to put this on, if I read it right. If we're talking about TV or something, that's a heck of a disclaimer you'd have to put under there. I think it would defeat the purpose.
Yeah, that's a good point. I certainly hadn't considered the impact. It wasn't my intent that this be on a public broadcast notice. We're talking about the written notice here, and I would have no objection to an amendment to clarify that this doesn't apply to public broadcast notices. We're talking about the written notices that go back.
And you're not really talking about elections here either. You're only talking about regulations.
That's right. Well,
Put it be bluntly, though, exactly what Representative Gruenberg would like. Representative Gruenberg is trying to create a vehicle to bring the lieutenant governor down, mm-hmm. and before our committee, have him before us and explain his legal authority to rewrite regulations. And
can we do that?
Bluntly speaking, absolutely.
Can we do that without messing with this bill?
Bluntly speaking, I believe that is really the objective here. Am I correct?
That is really the objective here. And I have absolutely, I think it's very important, and I'm only speaking personally, but I think it's very important that the lieutenant governor know we're serious about this. And that's why I offer this in the form of an amendment. I have no problem in considering this as separate legislation. I think your point, Representative Choquette, is well taken. With respect to the question of whether elections regulations would be included, I think they would be, because they are regulations like every other.
Oh, right.
But my suggestion would be that we could introduce this as a committee bill, if you want. But I mean, it's up to you, Mr. Chairman. I would like Lieutenant
Governor. Well, let me tell you what I'd like to do.
Sure.
Continue. Sure.
I would like to have this amendment before us. It is not voted on. It is before us to this bill. And then I will, as chairman of the committee, send a letter to Lieutenant Governor, tell him that this amendment is proposed on this bill, and inviting him to come to the committee to discuss the amendment. And then, after that point, we will decide if we want the amendment attached to the bill. That process in itself may achieve the representative's goal.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Miller.
Could we have a discussion with the prime sponsor or his representative said he would like to get some input. I think we would be fair to
Pete. Would you like to come back, please?
To get some input.
Yes, sir.
Representative Choquette.
A question to the chair. Did we not asked the governor to come back a week or so ago and discuss another situation?
Yes, and we had a letter.
Did he respond?
Yes, he did. He responded, I believe I reported this. He responded with a letter saying that they didn't have a position on that yet. They were waiting for Justice Department to rule. They had 60 days to rule on whether it was legal under them, and that they submitted the full copy of the file to us on it and said they would give us correspondence of everything, and then once they got the Justice Department's report, they would, and were able to form an opinion, then they would. But they didn't have an opinion yet.
Well, they're doing their own
thing. Obviously, they have an opinion on this situation.
Obviously.
Yes, sir. Chair, members, to quote Representative Bloomberg, I think Senator Duncan would prefer that these issues be separate. I think he would find your effort admirable. Obviously, we agree. We think it's good legislation. I'm afraid it might invite a veto, and I guess I would plead with the committee to consider separate legislation.
Now, I have, Mr. Chairman, I have no desire to see this thing.
And I'm sure, possibly Senator Duncan, of course, I'm speaking on his behalf without really checking with him first, might be willing to work with you in that regard in separate legislation.
Okay. We would welcome that.
Well, my ruling would be that we do have a legitimate amendment before us. We will not take a vote on this amendment today, and we will ask for input from Lieutenant Governor's office on the amendment. Whether we adopt the amendment or not will be taken up at a different time. Samuel.
Mr. Chairman, also, you can go ahead and do that, but depending on the response time, I would suggest, as Representative Grunberg is serious about this, he draft the bill, have it introduced Monday, and it can be scheduled for a separate piece of legislation early the week thereafter. To have a piece of, then we can move this other piece of legislation on at that time.
Representative Miller, this bill is not being held up. I mean, this bill, we have House bills that are still here and haven't been heard yet. But this is not going to hold this bill up by having it here for another week.
Well,
certainly not going to endanger the bill.
Decision of the chair. I just feel that if it's a separate issue, if the representative feels that strongly about it, should deal with it in a separate piece of legislation.
Well, it certainly fits under the title, and it is.
Oh, it certainly does fit under the title, and I don't argue that it doesn't fit under the title. It does fit under the title, but it's a major policy issue. It's much more of a major policy question than the bill ever is, and it should be considered as such, as a separate issue.
President Shulke?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As a question for the sponsor, what are the other referrals?
House Finance.
Rep. Sam Bruckman.
Oh, I thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would encourage the chairman to contact the lieutenant governor, and I'll do haste so that bill won't be held any longer. But it is appropriate language for this particular.
Rep. Sam Grunberg.
Just so that when we transmit this, lieutenant governor, we don't have the major technical problem that Representative Shulke mentioned, I would appreciate if you would allow us to entertain an amendment to the amendment to make it clear that we're not talking about these broadcasted notices here. And if it's in order, I think that conceptually, and we can have Terry Bannister redraft this accordingly if it's agreeable, that it should be each written notice or each published notice on the first line of the amendment. I think that would accomplish what Representative Shulke wanted to, because the way it is now, it doesn't, I mean, it's obviously drafted a major conceptual problem. So I would offer, if we can, just so that we can get it reprinted so you don't send him something.
Under D?
Yeah. In addition to other information required to be included, instead of A, we delete the word A and we put each published notice. Or each written notice, something we'll have to see about.
Okay.
And I'd ask you that. Conjunction.
Is there other issues, this amendment aside now, on this bill, that anybody has with it? I don't want this issue to cloud us dealing with this bill. Is there any other issues with this bill anybody has a problem with? All right, this bill will be rescheduled due to its convenience. Representative Greenberg?
Representative Miller does have a point. And the point is that one of several things can occur. the committee will invite the lieutenant governor. The lieutenant governor will either appear or send somebody in line, assuming that they do accept the committee's invitation. Either they will have a statement that is satisfactory to the committee, or they won't. If they do not, and we do not have some other vehicle, it may be too late for us to do anything legislatively. And I'm wondering whether it's the pleasure of the committee to have something introduced that we can also have available. Otherwise, we'll be 1 week down because of Rule 23. And I don't know what the committee's pleasure is.
I have no desire of introducing a bill because I don't understand the subject enough. I haven't read the laws. I'm not here to tell you what the lieutenant governor's rights or responsibilities are. And that's why I didn't mind having the amendment, so that I can be here and have him tell me what he thinks his rights and responsibilities are. But I have no objections to you introducing a bill that would, you know, do the same thing as this, but I'm still taking it as the lieutenant has the amendment before the bill right now, and we'll proceed.
Okay.
Is that? Anything else? We have three bills in subcommittee. Impoundment of mistreated animals. Who's on that subcommittee? Are we doing anything with that?
Mr. Chairman, subcommittee took extensive testimony as far as I'm concerned. It's in the sponsor's hands right now, whether he wants to. What he's incorporated into the results of the testimony and what, whether or not he wants to bring it back.
And House Bill 122 qualifications for longevity bonus. So, Ted, I couldn't meet with them yesterday because I was in another meeting, but they did meet working out something, so.
It's done, Mr. Chairman.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, so.
Well, it's not done from drafting yet, but it will be here Monday, so you can fill it and the new fiscal note.
So I hope we'll have that back before it's said next week. We have some other people that we don't have scheduled. Seaborn Buckaloo, the personnel board. Do we need to have this gentleman before us?
No, I know he needs a very...
What would be the procedure then? Do we still send a letter with a recommendation? Do people feel comfortable? I don't know him, but
he's good people.
So would you like the committee to have a letter saying that with us to sign on him, and we'll have the three columns either...
Sure.
Recommend, confirm, not confirm, or no recommendation.
Sure.
All right. And how, Mr. Jack Anderson? I would like Mr. Anderson to come before us.
Oh, I would too. Right.
An older man.
Mr. Chairman, you might want to check the law. There was some discussion with that this is to the APOC, right?
Yeah.
That there was some discussion after the election, and I have not checked the law, but that the appointees to that, it has to be from the political parties that received the top two, that were the vote getters, or the top two. And I believe that should be checked out. If that be the case, I don't know if Mr. Anderson applies.
Either an independent or an Alaskan independent party.
Or a Democrat. That was widely reported in the papers, and I have not
I
yet checked
that.
The law, but I would respect, you know, that the committee should check that out, that particular piece of statute.
Interesting that you would bring that up.
Well, I think if the Alaska Independent Party would be great on APOC, they'll shake it out.
I have got a little bit of input on this guy, and I think we need to talk to him, too.
I agree.
That's the
From
case
what input I've heard, I agree.
We do
if
have...
If he's eligible, even.
Yeah.
Right, good point.
Good. And I'd like a letter to legal on that. Yeah.
Are we adjourning?
No. I'd rather not have her be in that position of coming out and saying something, you know, that could cross her up. I'd rather our legal. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
because
are we adjourning?
There's no sense in putting her in any worse position.
No, I don't think it was. Just asking her what the status of the law is.
Yeah. Well, we've got lawyers to do that. And then we have Millen Keller on Monday. Everybody's going.
We're on our way to session, Mr. Chairman.
Wait. Is there going to be a get together?
Yeah, we can.
I think we should.
Well, that'll be on a phone anyways.
Okay.
If anybody wants to meet with me on Noah Keller's position, we should do so today. We're adjourned.
Why don't you call my office, whatever's convenient?